Everybody's standing for the reading of God's word. I'm ready to preach. If you're able to stand, that's my custom. I feel like we stand for so much that doesn't matter. Why don't we stand for what does? Come on. I believe somebody's world is about to shift because of the word. Who's ready for the word today? I'm coming to you from Mark chapter 6. I'll be kind of working my way through this text, so I'm going to read several verses and we'll move around and you'll see it on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. But it says in Mark 6:31, and he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. One translation says we need to come apart and rest. For there were many coming and many going, and they did not even have time to eat. And then verse 37, you give them something to eat. These thousands of people are there and they need food. And the disciples had said, send them away. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread, which is about a year's wages? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then verse 41 said, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up, don't miss this now, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. And then skip down to verse 45, they have those 12 baskets, and they put those baskets on the boat. And Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And in verse 45, it said, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat, and before him on the other side. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. And the Bible says that they were afraid, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. I don't want you to miss this now. They go right into a storm, and they have just seen the Lord feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they put the leftovers on the boat. And the leftovers were testifying that if God did it before, I can't find any help. I said, I can't find any Sunday morning help. The loaves were testifying that if God had did it before, he could do it again. I want to preach for just a few minutes along these lines. Save the scraps. Look at your neighbor and say, save the scraps. Yeah. Don't forget in a storm how many times he's already come through. You want to get in this oil with me today, precious? Man, I love you to pieces. God's gonna speak to us today. Raise up your hands here. Raise up your hands at the house. Spirit of God, I appreciate you and I thank you for your word. Help me to preach and teach it in a way that will give you glory. Somebody who's grateful today, give the Lord the ovation of the morning. Come on. Give him a shout of praise. Before you sit down, look around you and say, if you knew my story. Yeah, just say, if you knew my story, if you knew my story, if you knew how many times he came through for me, if you knew how many times he made a way for me, you might understand why once in a while I get a little bit loud in church. Come on now. See, there is an appreciation that you and I have that others don't have, and that appreciation is this. We can find a lot of gratitude for the road that we've walked, for the path that we've been on. And I want to tell you today, just in a way of reminder, no one knows your story better than you do. Nobody knows how many times God made a way for you. In fact, nobody even knows how God's making a way for you right now, like you do. Here's what I understand. The enemy knows your story, but he will only tell you about the parts that hurt you. The enemy knows your story, but he will only remind you of when you were hurt and when you were wounded and when you were taken advantage of. He'll never tell you about the breakthrough. He'll never remind you of how God made a way right when there was no way. And I came to here today to tell you that God knows every chapter. He knows every word in your story. He knows every wound. He knows every miracle. He knows every night that you didn't think that you would make it, but his presence supernaturally sustained you. He knows every time that he came through for you. So I just want to remind you this morning of this simple fact and reality. There is power in your story. I need about 5 or 10 people who just hear me say at least amen. There is power in your story. Just tell your neighborhood, if you knew my story. Yeah, if you knew some of the stuff I went through, if you knew some of the mountains that I climbed, if there's people in here who were suicidal, there's people in here who were addicted, there's people in here who were wounded, there were people in here who didn't know where they were going to go or what they were going to do, but here they are. Our sons and daughters of Zion, and they are in this house giving God glory and giving God praise. Some of you don't look like what you've been through. Can I get a witness in here? There is power that lives in you that is linked to where God brought you from and what God brought you through. And I want to dive into this text today, and I want to take my time with it. But the first thing I want to show you, it makes me love Jesus so much, because the first thing in our text we find is this: Jesus came for broken people. Jesus came for messed up people. Jesus came for struggling people. And in this text and in this story, precious, Jesus is deep in ministry. He is releasing revelations. He is performing miracles. He is preaching and teaching hope. And he is literally pouring life into the multitudes. And he was so busy that they had not even stopped to eat. I don't know if I've ever been that busy. But that's busy right there. And earlier in chapter 6, Jesus, don't miss this, had just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, who said, "There's one coming that I'm not even worthy to unlock his sandals. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals." And he called in the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And that cousin that Jesus loved, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. So here Jesus is. He is spent, y'all. He's spent physically. He's spent emotionally. And he had given everything of himself. And he said to his disciples, "We need to come apart." Here's the reality. It's wise sometimes, listen to me, to come apart before you come apart. I'm going to tell you something that you need to hear. Rest is not a sin. Because tired eyes seldom see a bright future. When you are exhausted and worn out, it's hard to see a bright future. So Jesus goes to find rest, and before he can even get to the place where he had decided to go, the multitudes have rushed ahead of him, and they're already waiting when he arrives. They're already there. They were desperate, y'all. They needed breakthrough. They were broken. They were religiously corrupt. They were politically bound. They were economically devastated. They were a broken people. But one of the many things I love about Jesus, one of the many reasons that I love him so much, is yes, he was tired. Yes, they were undeserving. Yes, his heart was broken. But he showed up Can I say it anyway? Sometimes the power is just showing up anyway. Don't underestimate the power of showing up anyway. I can't tell you how many times that I've come to church and I was wounded and I was hurting. I'm talking about as being your pastor right here, that I was fighting and struggling, that I was struggling with things that you don't even know about, things in my family. I was struggling with things with my parents. There were issues that were going on, but I showed up anyway. And one of the things that will devastate the works of the enemy and confuse the devil in your life is even when things are not going right, you show up and do the right thing. I love Jesus because he showed up anyway. And here's what I found out about Jesus, y'all. He's so good and he's so faithful. Jesus never forsook people who were struggling. He never saw messed up people as a nuisance. He never saw them as a nuisance. He saw messed up, can I say it, torn up, jacked up people. He saw them as his mission. He saw them as his responsibility. In our society today, don't kid yourself, y'all, it's every bit as hurting and broken as that society was in the time of Christ. We are a nation that is hungry for healing. People are in desperate situations and they need hope. And what they need is not more religion. What they need, I'm going to say this and I'll explain it, but what they need is the balm of Gilead. What they need is healing. What they need is a touch from the healer and the redeemer. Oh, Jesus. I referred to something called the balm of Gilead. Jeremiah put it like this in Jeremiah 8:22. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Don't miss that. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? In the Bible, the balm of Gilead was a medicine derived from the balsam tree and from its resin. It was the most prized medicine in the ancient Near East. Now, don't miss it. It was a tree. And from that tree, the resin was the balm of Gilead. It was used on sores. It was used on scrapes. It was used on burns. They even made cough medicine out of it. It soothed, y'all. It healed. And what Jeremiah was saying, he said, here we are in this nation. Is there any medicine here? Is there a physician here? But the people were not being healed. He said, I know that Gilead is in our own nation. I know that Gilead is very close to us. It's in our own nation. He said, but where's the medicine? Where are the physicians? The people are not being healed. The religious folks now in that day are settling for something else. And I want to tell you, we have a nation that's hurting. We have neighbors that are wounded. We have people that are confused. And the church is in trouble when we get consumed with other things. See, there is a physician and there is a healer. And I want to tell you about the church. I love everybody here, but the church is not a country club for the saints. The church is not just somewhere where we come and hang out with like-minded people. It's a hospital for folks who are broken. It's a hospital for people who need to be put back together again. And Jeremiah asked in a cry of despair, he said, is there no balm? Is there no physician? And I want to tell you today, I want to tell you in this room that there is a balm in Gilead in America. His name is Jesus. I said, his name is Jesus. The cross is the tree and the blood is the resin. And it doesn't just treat the wound, it heals it all, including death. There's nothing that Jesus cannot do. There's nothing that the blood cannot accomplish. I'm glad to know today that I serve the great physician. Is there anybody here that's been healed by the balm in Gilead? Oh, I better ask you again. I'm looking for somebody who knows that your past was a mess. You were wounded. You were struggling. But has he ever come into your life and healed you? Here's what I know. It's important, you know, to have services that are prepared. It's important to bring people together, and it's important for us to try to get people connected. But can I say this? People, I want to talk to some preachers for a minute. People are not looking for a performance. They are not looking for a church that is just built on performance. They are looking for the balm in Gilead. They don't need just cute services. They need the balm in Gilead. And I'm going to tell you, as great as our music is, and how many of you thank God for Pastor Courtney and our team? It's incredible. But I want to tell you this. We are not performers on this stage. We don't perform. Yeah, let me tell you what we do. We worship and we praise. We don't perform. We worship. And when we worship, God shows up and he performs. The only performer in this house is the Lord himself. Listen, the people that come into church, they don't need another polished production. They need to hear from somebody who's been through something. They need to hear from somebody who can stand up and say, I know he can heal because he healed me. I know he can save because he saved me. Here Jesus is. And they're making demands on him. He's tired. He's hungry. He's worn out. His heart is broken. His cousin's been beheaded. And the disciples, they see the people, and they said something so shocking in that text to me. They looked at Jesus and looked at the people and saw them as a nuisance. These hurting, hungry people. And here's what they said, three words, send them away. Send them away. And too often, that's today's church. They're like these disciples. They say, send them away. We can't help them. We can't feed them. We can't do anything for them. Send them away. They're too much of an inconvenience for us. But I would say to you, God, forgive us, because we are the hope for the world. And there's healing in this house today. And if you're struggling, I'm glad you're here. If you're addicted, I'm glad you're here. If your marriage is broken, I'm glad you're here. If you're confused sexually, I'm glad you're here. If you're jacked up, I'm glad you're here. You're the reason that we unlock the doors. You're the reason that we open this house. And I'm just so glad that you're here. I've done it before, but I'll do it again. If you're watching at home right now, if you're addicted, come to my church. If you're messed up, come to my church. If you're broken, come to Calvary. If you're confused, come to Calvary. If you're sin sick, come to Calvary. The healing balm of Gilead is in this room, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, way far above anything we can ask or think. Some of you say, well, I can't come to your church because it's all perfect people. No, let me tell you, this whole house is full of jacked up people who got restored by the goodness of God. Come to our church. I don't know if we can film the crowd, but get a shot of the crowd. Tell them, come on. Tell them, come on. Come on, everybody just say, come to our church. Come to our church. Now give God a praise that they can come and find redemption. It's powerful to me. Now Jesus is ministering to the people. The hour gets late. The disciples said, send them away. And Jesus looked at them because they didn't know what to do. They said, it's 1 year's wages to feed all this bunch. And then Jesus looked at him, and you know what he said? He said, you give them something to eat. Well, Lord, I got a couple mints in my pocket. Come on. He said, you give them something to eat. They thought, we don't have anything. How can we? And they failed to see the truth that would change everything. All they needed to do was take what they had and put it in his hands. Let me tell you, everything we've done here at Calvary, I never had it figured out. The divine assignment that was over our life when we came to Calvary a long time ago, 28, 9 years ago, this assignment, listen, we didn't know how we were going to do it. We didn't have the resources to do it. Start a Daytona Dream Center. Start a homeless ministry. Start outreach and evangelism. Do egg hunts. Come on. Start all these campuses. We didn't know how to do it. I wasn't smart enough to do it. I'm still not smart enough to do it. I was 33 years old. I say Jesus went to Calvary at 33, and so did I. Come on, somebody. I didn't know what to do, but I tell you, I had the sense enough to take what little I had and put it in the hands of Jesus. And I would say to you, look what the Lord has done. They just needed to take what they had and bring it to Jesus and put it in his hands. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. But here's the answer. Just take what you got, no matter how small it seems, no matter how inadequate it seems. Take it and put it in his hands. Jesus said, put it in my hands. Let me touch it. Let me get my hands on it. Hallelujah. If you give what you have to me, I will bless it. If you give what you have to me, I will do more with it than you ever imagined. I came to tell somebody today, put that marriage in his hands. Put those children in his hands. Put that problem in his hands. I feel like preaching. Put that diagnosis in his hands. Put that struggle in his hands. Put that daughter in his hands. Put that son in his hands. Put that depression in his hands. Put that fear in his hands. Hey, baby, if you'll put it in his hands, he'll take care of it. Is there anybody here who's put something in his hands and you've seen him make a way? What I love about Jesus is he can handle it. See, everything changes when you put it in his hands. Just put it all in his hands. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, put it all in his hands. And then when you put it in his hands, here's the hard part. You got to leave it there. Come on, Anderson, you're going to be Jesus for a minute. Don't y'all love Anderson? He looks nice today. Got on his pink shirt and his, ooh, you looking good. See, what we like to do is put it in the hands of the Lord. I'm giving it to you, Jesus. And then we come back and say, wait a minute, she's driving me crazy. I'll take it back. Let me tell you something. Put it in his hands. I'm going to do something I shouldn't. I'm a little bit crazy. Because you'll find out that it just looks like a box, don't it? It's just a box. But when you put it in his hands, you'll find out, my Lord, there's all kind of stuff in here. I dare somebody who's going to put whatever you got in his hands and watch him bless it. Give the Lord a shout right now. Put it there. Leave it there. Watch him bless it, change it, and multiply it. Somebody right now, give God praise, wait a minute, for what you put in his hands, because in Jesus' name, if it's in his hands, he's going to bless it. Say, Lord, bless it. Come on, shout it out. Say, Lord, bless it. Change it. And multiply it. And now give God a shout for doing it. Come on. Now, here's what the Bible says. Now, those who had eaten the loaves and the fish were about 5,000 men. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. A little boy's sack lunch. A little boy that did not even make the count. A little boy that didn't even register. Come on, somebody. In the grand total of things. This little boy was used by the Lord. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you felt like I don't matter? I can't really do anything significant for the Lord. But Jesus used a little boy who didn't even count to do what counted. And that's what Jesus is able to still do. He took a shepherd boy named David from the backside of the desert and he made him a king. He took a fugitive named Moses who had
gotten his life in a mess, and he made him the greatest deliverer Israel had ever known. He took a little boy's sack lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and fed as many as 20,000 people. I want to tell you something. Even if you don't feel like you count, Jesus will use you to do what counts. Even when you feel inadequate, even when you feel inept, Jesus will use you to do what matters. Now, here's where the revelation goes to another level. After 5,000 men, as many as 20,000 people are fed, Jesus instructs the disciples to gather up the fragments of what's left, 12 baskets full, and they were instructed to save the scraps. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, save the scraps. Isn't it funny? 12 disciples, 12 baskets, one basket each. Jesus knows what he's doing. Come on. Jesus sent them to the other side. He said, go to the other side. And they're carrying the leftovers of the last miracle that they had seen him do. Tell somebody again, say, save the scraps. Yeah, they didn't go empty. They were loaded with evidence. I came to ask somebody today, do you have any evidence? I better ask you again. I said, do you have any evidence? Can you look back across your life and say, Apostle, I've seen God make a way time and time again? They carried into the next chapter the miracle that God had done in the last chapter. They carried the leftovers, proof of what Jesus had just done. Those were not just scraps. Those scraps were witnesses. Every piece of bread in the basket said, he can do it. Every piece of fish said, I saw it. He made a way. We were there. Those fragments were speaking before the storm ever showed up. And God never, 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 never wastes a miracle. He packages the overflow and sends it with you in the next season. See, the scraps of your last miracle are the fuel for your next one. I said the scraps of your last miracle. I want somebody right now, if you've got any scraps, maybe you've been in a fight, maybe you've been in a storm, but if you got a few scraps, why don't you give God praise that, yeah, I remember when it came through for me. So watch this. Jesus told them, go to the other side, and they get out in the boat and they start rowing, and then a storm shows up. The Bible said immediately in verse 45, he made his disciples get out of the boat and go before him on the other side to Bethesda while he sent the multitude away. Jesus said, go to the other side. In other words, that was his idea. He said, you're going to the other side. And I came to tell you that if Jesus said you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. You're going to the other side of that problem. You're going to the other side of that attack. You're going to the other side of that dilemma. Somebody who's ready to go to the other side, let me hear from you right now. I'm going. If Jesus said, go to the other side, he didn't say you won't encounter a storm. He didn't say it wouldn't be hard. He didn't say it wouldn't be intense. But he said, know this, if I put the other side in you, then no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I came to prophesy to somebody who's been doubting, am I going to get through to the other side? If God said that you're going to the other side, you ought to go ahead and give God praise that I'm going. I'm not going to let a storm change my mind. I'm not going to let a doubter change my mind. I'm not going to let my circumstances change my mind. I'm not going to let the clouds change my mind. God said the other side. I prophesy that somebody is getting this word and you're going to the other side. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, would you give me 15 seconds to praise God? Because I'm going. Hey, my family's going. My children are going. My daughter is going. My son is going. We are going to the other side. But here's the perplexing piece of it. We think so often we're going to go to the other side and the enemy's not going to try to challenge us. So immediately a storm comes, and it's so powerful to me. The moment they pushed off in obedience to his word, that's when the Bible said the wind turned against them. So see, one translation said the wind turned against them. Another translation said the wind was contrary. See, storms often come when you're assigned to go to the other side. And the contrary wind, somebody say contrary. The contrary wind didn't mean they were out of God's will. I'm going to mess somebody up. The contrary wind meant they were in it. And if the devil has been fighting you, if the enemy has been fighting you, check your assignment. You might be closer than you think you are. I'm about to get down here and have myself my own Jericho march. If the enemy's been warring with you in your mind, if he's been warring with you in your heart, if he's been coming against you everywhere you turn, just know this, you must be on the right track, because if you wasn't, he would be leaving you alone. Somebody, you're attracting that fight because you're going to the other side. That storm is because the enemy knows the other side is in you. And the problem is, precious, is sometimes, y'all, when we're in those moments that are difficult and hard, you feel like you're failing. Preach to yourself, Jim Raley. But they weren't failing. They were rowing. They were rowing. Tell somebody, keep rowing. Then Jesus saw them, verse 48, straining and rowing. If you're straining and rowing, keep rowing. For the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Who? Jesus, walking. I don't think he was walking like. I believe Jesus is like. What's up, y'all? Come on. I don't believe the storm had any effect on Jesus. And hear me in this room. He came walking on the sea. I came to tell somebody that the Bible said they rode. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't turn back. They just kept rowing, and they went at the word of the Lord. And I came today to tell you, sister. I came to tell you, brother, keep rowing. I'm telling you, don't give up. Keep rowing. Have you ever been doing everything right? Have you ever had times in your life when you were going to where he said to go, but the wind was against you, and the devil said, give up? No, don't you dare give up. Keep rowing in the name of Jesus. Can I really unpack this? The Bible said it was the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That they'd been out there all night long. This is long obedience. And they felt like they were going in the wrong direction. That they didn't let the storm push them. They rode against the storm. And they said, Jesus said the other side, so we're going to the other side. Tell your neighbor, say, if Jesus said the other side, yeah, tell him, keep rowing, keep rowing, keep rowing, keep rowing until every child is saved. Keep rowing until you see that daughter delivered. Keep rowing until God turns your finances around. Keep rowing until you see revival. Listen, the storm is a cue that the enemy knows you're going to the other side. Holler at your boy. Just say, keep rowing. Keep rowing. The Bible said that the wind was contrary. Now, let's just jump right there. Contrary means the total opposite. The exact opposite of what you wanted. See, I had it all figured out when I got married. Y'all look straight ahead now. I was gonna be the man in the house. I was gonna tell Dawn to jump, and she'd say, how high? I was gonna put my foot down, and that's how I was gonna. So I put my foot down, and she put her foot down right on top of mine. Come on. You have this idea of how it's going to be. Have you ever wanted one thing and you got the opposite? You wanted peace, but you got war. You wanted breakthrough, but you got bondage. You wanted healing, but you got sickness. You wanted joy, but depression showed right up. You wanted a saved family, but it seemed like the more you prayed for them, the crazier they got. You wanted hope, but despair knocked at the door. Have you ever had times when you wanted one thing but you saw another? Have you ever experienced the season where you were experienced the exact opposite of what you wanted? But listen, they had a commandment from Jesus to go to the other side. But here's where it really looks good. Here's where this thing turns. Watch who shows up in the contrary and opposite winds. The Bible said Jesus, verse 48, came to them walking on the sea. See, Jesus, he's contrary to the sea. He's opposites, and opposites attract. Come on, from marriage to magnets, opposites attract. So Jesus shows up in a storm, and peace be still, walks on the water. What's the opposite of the storm? Peace is. What's the opposite of sickness? Healing is. What's the opposite of warfare? Peace is. What's the opposite of depression? Joy is. And I'm telling you, your storm has attracted the very opposite of what you're facing right now. Jesus can come in there and turn the whole thing around. Opposites attract. And watch this. This gets so powerful to me. This is so wonderful to me, because tough times and contrary winds don't scare the Lord. He's walking on the very thing that they thought was going to take them out. He's on top of it. Don't miss it, y'all. The very thing they thought was going to kill them, he's on top of it, walking over top of the thing that he thought was going to take them out. I want to tell you, Jesus is on top of it. He's on top of that sickness. He's on top of that marriage. He's on top of that those children. And he's not about to sink, baby. He's walking out there on top of it. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, give me a minute to give God praise, because if he's on top of it, I'm on top of it. Now give God a shout in this room. Jesus is on top of that problem. He's on top of that issue. And they didn't even recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. They didn't know it was the Lord. They cried out in fear, and they just about rowed right past the revelation. For they had not gained any insight, verse 52, of the incident of the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. The Bible said they didn't forget about the loaf. They said they didn't learn anything.
from the loaves. It's a word in the Hebrew that means to bring together, to put the pieces in order, to connect the dots. They said if we could have only connected the dots, if we could have remembered that anything he did before, he can do it again. They had the pieces. They had the proof. Sitting right on the boat with them. The baskets were right there, but they didn't put it together. What they needed in the middle of that messy storm was not more strength. What they needed was remembrance. What they needed was to look back and reevaluate and remember. And that ain't weakness. That ain't backing down. This is going back to what God had already did and expecting him to do it again. And it was going back to how God had already came through and expecting him to show up again. See, when the storm hits and the wind turns and the night gets long, I want you to look at what's already on your boat. I want you to look at already what God has already done. And I want to tell you, these are not leftovers, these are proofs. I need somebody right now. If you've got any scraps, if you've got anything on the boat, even if you're in a storm, if you've seen the Lord come through, why don't you open your mouth and give him praise right now? Bring the band out. I said, open your mouth and give God a praise right now. I said, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. Every scar is a story. Every testimony is a weapon. Every miracle that he did for you in the past is evidence that if he did it before, he can do it again. I want about 1,000 people, maybe not everybody, but I want somebody who's got a few scraps on your ship. Why don't you open up your mouth and give God a praise? Come on, I want the whole band to get out here. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and take your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, you ought to go ahead and praise God, because every scar has a story. Every testimony is a weapon. Everything he did for you in the past is proof that if he did it before, he can do it again. I feel that run around the building anointing. I feel that shout under Zion anointing. Somebody give God a praise. If he ain't blessed you, you just stand there. If you don't have anything on the boat, you just sit there. But if you've seen the Lord come through, open up your mouth and give him praise. My, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you have any scraps? Hey, hallelujah. You better shake them up. I don't know if they heard you. If their hair falls off, if it's good hair, put it in your purse and take it home with you. But ask your neighbor again, say, neighbor, say, do you have any scraps? Is your marriage still standing? I said, is your marriage still standing? Is your child serving God? Are you still in the room? Has God made a way? Did you overcome anything? Did you find victory over something that should have took you out? Take about 30 seconds and give God a crazy praise. Five, your neighbor, and say, I got some scraps. Yeah, yeah. I've seen him make a way. I've seen him open a door. I've seen him move a mountain. They don't know what you came through. They don't know the hell you overcame. That's why they don't understand your praise. But you need to stop apologizing and go ahead and praise God like he's still a way maker. Are you saved? I said, are you saved? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you more than a conqueror? Did he wake you up this morning? Did he start you on your way? Do you got food on your table?
You ought to give him a praise right now. Watch this. If he set you free from addiction, wave at me right now. Now stop right now and give God praise for scores of people. If he healed you from cancer, wave at me right now. Stop right now and give God a praise. If he redeemed you out of sin, wave at me right now. Open up your mouth and give God a radical praise. You know what I feel like I want to do? I know it's too much for some people, but the same Jesus who multiplied the loaves and the fishes and walked on the water is coming across your storm right now. He's coming across your situation right now, and he's in the room. Can we go to church? Can I find at least 100 people that don't mind dancing before the Lord? I want that track. I said, I want to find 100 people that don't mind giving the Lord a crazy praise. Are you ready? Let's praise him. Come on. Going to the other side. Shout, I'm going to the other side. Shout, I'm going to the other side. Shout, I'm going to the other side. Somebody praise him. Come on up, Court. Watch this. I give you glory. I give you praise. For the enemy did not triumph. I give you glory. I give you praise for the enemy. I give you glory. I give you praise for the enemy. I give you glory. I give you praise for the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. I give you glory. I give you praise for the enemy. I give you glory. I give you praise for the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. My dance will put Satan under my feet. And I declare we'll put Satan under my feet. I got victory. the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. So glad the enemy. Scraps, hallelujah. Hey, save the scraps.
Oh, the shit. Hey, this lady right here, she's just hollering all by herself. Why don't we have about 12, 14, 1500 people that holler with her? However many. Maybe not everybody, but somebody ought to shout. Tell everybody, save the scraps. Holler and say, save the scraps. Nobody leave. I'm going to try to land this. Everybody standing. Mm-hmm. Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. How many of y'all got some scraps who are that's testifying to you right now? How many of you got something right now? Apostle, I remember what God has done. So powerful to me. What they needed was remembrance. And your miracles, everybody stand. I'm trying to close. Don't leave because I want to bless you. The disciples had 12 baskets full of proof in the boat, and they were still afraid. Tell somebody, don't let that be you. Mm-hmm. And the disciples, let me try to land this, but it's powerful, and I don't want you to miss this. I felt like there was a praise that we needed to release. Did anybody enjoy just praising the Lord? I sure did. The disciples, let me talk to you like for real. I want you to look at me, sisters, brothers, and sons and daughters. Because the disciples had a moment where they couldn't see Jesus because of the storm. But they still had the scraps. Have you served him a long time like I have? And have you ever had a storm that was so intense that you felt like you couldn't even see him in it? Can I find at least three or four real people where you just said, I don't even see Jesus in that? And there are times. When you can't see Jesus, but you can still see the scraps. There'll be times when the storm is gonna come up and you say, God, I don't know that I see you in this thing. Can I talk to somebody real today? But I do know that I have the scraps on board. See, you may be in a storm right now, but you've got some scraps left. And listen, your scraps are your testimony. The Bible said that straightway Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. He said, you're in a storm right now, and here I come. Because what I do love about Jesus is that he will show up right in the middle of my storm. Has he ever showed up in the middle of your storm? And he told them, he said, gather up the baskets. And I love, he put it like this. In fact, I'm going to read that text because this is important.
when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, John 6:12, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. He said, I'm not going to let anything I touch be lost. Maybe your children are crazy right now, but have you ever seen God touch them? Don't waste anything. Some of you have been so caught up in the fight. I've been there. The warfare, the storm. What the enemy has designed now is for you to stop rowing, for you to quit and give up, because you haven't seen the manifestation. What you need to do is look around your spiritual ship and say, you came through here, and 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 you came and you touched here, and you touched here, and you touched here, and you touched here. And if he did it before, I'm talking to somebody who's in a storm right now. Wave at me if you're in a storm. Yeah, I thought so. You need a breakthrough. Wave at me. We have no pride in here. You need God to move in a way. I declare peace and power. I declare that the storms that you've been in will not stop you from going to the other side. I declare financial favor. Right in the middle of the storm, I declare doctors' reports are going to reverse right in the middle of the storm. I declare you will not divorce. Hallelujah, your marriage is going to survive. I declare that your children, come on, they're going to serve the Lord. Somebody say it. Say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You hold up your hands. Come on, if you need God to move, I come against everything that's come against you. Then I encourage you in the Lord, my sisters and my brothers, my sons and my daughters. I encourage you with your children. I encourage you with your grandchildren. I encourage you. I say that anything that God has ever touched, it won't be wasted. In Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. The only reason that I'm here today, I thank you, Jesus, is because he was there. I have baskets full of his faithfulness in my life, and don't you dare give up, back up, let up, or shut up. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I don't want anybody, I would like for you to reverence this moment, precious. Because God's going to move, and I'll formally release you. But people are going to come to Jesus in this moment. And if you're in such a hurry that you have to run out, it's a medical emergency, I understand it. But if it's not that, I don't think we need to be going while people are coming to Jesus. I think we need to honor this moment, because this is changing their very life. If you're in this room today and you would say, Jim Raley, there are things in my life that alienate me from the Lord. There's sin in my life. I'm in a storm, and maybe that storm I'm in, the enemy didn't even bring it. Maybe I manufactured my own storm.
I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, and I need to give my heart to Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, I want to get sin, I'm a sinner, I need to get sin under the blood. When you pray, I want you to pray for me. I'm not trying to embarrass you today, but I want you to walk out whole. If you're in this room and you'd say, if you're going to pray, Jim Raley, pray for me. Hands are already being lifted. When I count to three, raise your hand. Pray for me. One. Pray for me. Two. Pray for me. Three. Slip that hand up. Across the room, I see hands being lifted. Come on, hold it up. Hold it up. I'm going to lend you 5 more seconds. If you need to raise your hand, raise it right now. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, Jim Raley. There's things in my life that keep me from him. Here's 5 more seconds. If you need to raise it, if you raised it up, keep it up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Now, if somebody next to you raised their hand, I want you to scoot back so they can come, and I want to pray with them. And if they're apprehensive to come, you get them by the hand and you bring them. But if you raised your hand and you really meant business, I want to pray with you right here. I want you to make a step by faith. Begin to move. You won't come alone. No, sir, you won't. Come on, you're one step away from a new beginning. You're one step away from a fresh start. I wish y'all would rejoice while people come. Hallelujah. I wish y'all would rejoice. I'm looking at young people coming. Oh, hallelujah. Sing that, Courtney. Sing it, honey. Come on, they're still coming. Come on, they're still coming. They're still coming. Sing, Court. I'm still in your hands.
Still in your hand, this is my confidence. You never.
There may be a few more people. I want you to come right now. Come on, your promise
still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness.
I'm still in your hand.
This is my confidence. You never fail.
I want everybody to take your hand and put it on your heart right now. I'm looking at all kind of different people here today. I'm looking at senior adults, young adults. I'm looking at all kind of backgrounds of people, males and females. But for everybody that's here, there's still just one answer. And his name is Jesus. And the reason I have us put our hand on our heart is because that's what we're going to surrender to the Lord today. We're going to give ourselves, we're going to give our past, we're going to give our struggles, we're going to give our sin, we're going to give it all to Jesus. And he's going to meet us right where we are. How incredible is this altar call? Wow. This is why we do it, y'all. Everybody pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, this is your prayer if you're here in the front. I'm asking you, please forgive me for all my sins. Take my heart and wash it clean. I declare that you are the Savior, my Savior. And I confess you today. Lord, I've been trying it my way, and my way isn't working. So come to my storm. Come to my storm. Come to my struggle. I give it all to you, and I declare I'll never, 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 never be the same again. Can you praise the Lord? Altar workers, reach out there and talk to them. Everybody else, slip your hands up. Y'all don't go anywhere. There's an altar worker that'll pray with you right there. Let's make sure. We want to talk to you just for a moment. Everybody else, slip your hands up.
Now I'm going to tell you, didn't God move for us today? Wasn't it great? I want to sing over you and speak over you. I really want to see you blessed. I really want to see God move in your life. Next Sunday, look at me now. They're going to be ministered to, but I want to talk just to you. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach such an important message, maybe one of the most important messages of this year. I'm going to preach a message titled, When the Only Way Out is Through. I'm going to talk to you about, I felt like these sermons needed to stir victory and expectancy. So it's going to be a powerful Sunday you don't want to miss. Now let me pray over you. The Lord bless you. Somebody say, I receive him. The Lord keep you. You want to receive it? Say, I receive it. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now give the Lord praise for it all. I love you so much. I'll meet you in the back.